It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show. Today, my guest is, once again, Paul Levin, and our topic is going to be stress, and I can't imagine a more perfect topic for this particular time in everyone's life. Before we begin our conversation together, though, I want to remind you to check the Boomer product line on my radio link. So it's synergyconnectionradio.com, and there is a link that takes you right into the Boomer products. Because wellness is going to be at the foundation for the coming months for all of us. I think we really have to consider how to get and stay healthy if we're going to be fighting not only COVID-19, but also any other virus that might be deciding to morph itself out of COVID-19, because that could happen too, guys. And we're going to have to understand how to keep that inflammation level down that I'm always talking about. If you haven't had a C-reactive protein blood lab to tell you where your inflammation level is, I would highly encourage you to do that. Also, you want to understand where your immune system is, and that's your D as in dog 3 test. In order to boost those levels, you want to be looking at taking a minimum of 10,000 international units of vitamin D. Boomers is in a little bitty tiny round ball, and it's 5,000 international units per little ball. And the other one would be maybe to consider using either the Gladiator or the Heirloom Barley, which will reduce your inflammation and rebuild your muscles and make sure that you stay strong enough to fight off this virus. So I just highly encourage you to go ahead and look at that as a way to get healthy. And if you use my name, L-U-C-Y, as the promo code, you will get $5 off of your order. So remember, if you go in there and decide to order, to use that promo code, L-U-C-Y. Okay, so Paul is an author, so we share that in common. He's a speaker. He's an emotional breakthrough mentor and blogger. He is also a certified hypnotherapist and a neuro-linguistic programmer, practitioner, which is a whole bunch of words. But it certainly works for an awful lot of people. And for the past few years, Paul has been teaching and enlightening his students with methods that help them transform their lives. And I'm guessing that's from a life where they're not particularly happy into a life where they're much more satisfied with who they are and where they're going.
Yes.
Okay. So welcome back. And my question to you, since we're going to be talking about stress, is how have you been doing through all of this COVID-19?
Well, I have to tell you, I think one of the most important first steps to maintaining mental health is to be honest about your feelings and what you're experiencing in life.
Mm-hmm.
So were there times I wanted to punch my hand through the wall of my trailer? Absolutely, yes.
And did you?
No. It would have hurt. It would have hurt way more than I wanted to experience.
Right, okay.
And plus the damage and all of that. Who wants all of that stuff, right?
Nobody does that.
But were there times where it's like, I've got to get out of here,
mm-hmm.
right? Oh, absolutely.
So did you go for walks or something?
Yes,
okay.
one of the habits that I began. So it's been a process. It's been a journey
mm-hmm.
for everybody,
mm-hmm.
and I think for me, maybe you too, one of the parts of that process is resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to change my behaviors. I don't want to pick up and create new habits if this thing's going to be over real soon, and I want it to be over real soon. So I don't want to create new habits.
Right. But the reality is...
you kind of need to if you want to continue to take care of yourself.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Somewhere around, I don't know, week 6 or so. Probably should have started earlier, right?
Right.
But somewhere around week 6, I started walking. And I'd go out at some point during the day, every afternoon or evening, and walk around the block a couple times just to keep moving.
Right.
You know, for what I do... working with people, especially during the past few months, I'm sitting in a chair for 12 hours a day.
Yeah, and that circulation is really bad for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it began to take its toll on my own body, right?
Right, right.
So, like I said, I started walking. Then, about a month ago, I realized, you know, I used to go to the gym twice a week. And yes, I do my stretching or I do a little exercise when I feel that if I don't do it, my body's going to hurt a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, I didn't make it anything formal. And so now I've, every Monday and Friday, I do my exercises in my trailer, in my home, right? Thankfully, gyms are allowed to be open. Mine is going to open next week, they told me.
Okay.
So I'll be back at the gym real soon. But yes, it's being honest about what's going on with you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you frustrated? Then get out of the house. Go. You know, the parks are open. I used to go to, I was, in the very beginning, from the very day one of this thing, I was like, I need to go do something that will make me feel happy.
Right.
Right? I need to maintain happiness and joy and
mm-hmm.
lightheartedness and all of that in the midst of, I don't know, you know, pre-World War II Poland, you know, or something like that view of what we've got here, right?
Right.
Okay. And so I was going to parks. The malls are open, though they kind of look like a war zone.
I have not gone there.
Well, you know, everybody's wearing a mask and half the stores are closed, you know.
Right.
It's right. But just keep, go to the beach. I went to the beach one Sunday. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's really important that first you recognize what's going on for you. And that you do stuff that makes you, you know, keeps you happy.
Right. I know for myself, weeks ago, I realized, I mean, you know, the car probably is getting 10 miles a week on it. I mean, it's staying parked. And I work from home. So, you know, 3 days a week, I'm working from home. And then I have the radio show and I'm marketing my book that's out now. But I would go to, there's a park that's not very far from me, less than 2 miles, and I've been posting on Facebook the pictures. I go there at sunset, but I go
nice.
Early enough that nice. I'm having a bite to eat there, and sometimes it's with friends, and, you know, we maintain a certain amount of distance. We're not, you know, in each other's faces, but everybody is so cordial that it's like once you're out and you're by water and you can see birds and butterflies and watch the mullet jumping into the air and all those things, it takes away this social isolation. And
yes.
that is where a lot of the stress is coming from. I mean,
absolutely.
I believe that we are humans in need of one another.
Absolutely.
And if you are totally isolated, and for a great many people, I don't know, I mean, I'm widowed, so as a result, I have my cat, but I'm here by myself an awful lot. And, you know, I think that we have to look at what makes us human is our interactions with other human beings.
It is. There was an experiment that I'd heard about, so I don't have the details on this. You could probably Google it. And I think this experiment was done back in the 1940s or something like that, maybe 50s.
Was it the hug one?
Yes, the babies, the babies in China.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In the orphanage. Okay, so yeah, so I'll quickly go through the
yeah.
story. So here is an orphanage in China. Massive overpopulation in China, right? Back in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big issue. That's when they were implementing the restrictions on how many children you could have.
And they went down to one.
Right, yes. You could have one child. That was
mm-hmm.
it.
And if it was a girl, she went to
well,
the orphanage.
Yes, actually, well, that's true. That's
mm-hmm.
very true because the families didn't want to keep the girls because they could only have one child.
Right.
So they would send the girls off to the orphanage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here's this orphanage with all these babies and, you know, allegedly, with the exception of those girls, have no parents, right? And the nurses there, the caretakers, were involved in this experiment. And what the thing was is they would not touch these children except to feed them and bathe them and change their diaper and whatnot. But they would show them no love whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
The experiment was going to be for 30 days, and before the 30 days was up, these babies started dying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dying. And they aborted, they stopped the experiment. They immediately stopped the experiment. And they discovered that, yes, we absolutely must have human contact.
Yeah.
We must.
Right. You know, there's been a lot of different studies about, you know, hugging in general, touch in general, and your immune system.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you do not have that kind of reinforcement contact, your immune system can go down. So a lot of people during COVID-19 have adopted, the shelters are pretty empty, which is really nice, the animal shelters.
Yes.
Because they've adopted pets in order to get that unconditional regard, affection, you know,
coming.
And I've said before, one of my biggest fears now, because I am a huge pet lover, is hopefully these people that went and rescued these pets
will keep them
as they begin to go back to work.
Mm.
You know, some of them are very concerned about how am I going to handle vet bills, how am I going to handle food bills for the pets. But, you know, there's ways that you can do that.
There are. You know, you touched on a word that was probably, to me, the biggest factor, the biggest thing about this virus that affected us from day one, and that was fear.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we have not been dealing with a virus.
No, we've been dealing with fear.
We've been dealing with a fear of a virus.
Mm-hmm.
And fear is way more dangerous to your mind and to your body than the thing is,
mm-hmm.
in many, many cases, and this is one of them.
Right. Well, your adrenal glands, and we've talked about this in the past, but your adrenal glands sit on top of your kidneys,
mm-hmm.
and they give off a hormone.
Adrenaline.
That's called cortisol.
Okay.
And cortisol damages your entire body. It is meant
Stress.
For a short burst of speed, so that if you were a caveman, and you were looking at a saber-toothed tiger, that you had the ability to bucket out of there, hopefully very fast,
right,
and get someplace where you were safer so that the tiger didn't get you or the dinosaur didn't get you or something. And so those adrenals still give off cortisol when we're in dangerous situations. That's one of the reasons people have superhuman strength and can lift a car off of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But in COVID-19, we have been giving off cortisol now for months in our bodies. And so your body is under constant attack, and your immune system is being flushed down the toilet as a result.
Absolutely, yes. In fact, so that's great, because that segues us right back to stress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because, yes, before this began, your body was giving off cortisol 24/7 already,
mm-hmm.
and now the production of that has been asked to be doubled. Or tripled.
Right.
And what does that do in your body? See, we were designed to have those short bursts, go into fight or flight mode,
mm-hmm.
either fight or flee, right, and get ourselves back to safety.
Right.
Where we could then return to rest and digest.
Mm-hmm.
See, the body cannot process food properly.
Right.
When you're in fight and flight.
No, you're not meant to. Everything
meant
leaves
to.
Your stomach.
That's right. There are parts of your body that shut down,
mm-hmm.
when you are in fight or flight.
Right.
The thing is, they can't stay shut down forever. And so your body is left with this problem of, well, I have to function, but I'm supposed to be turned off so that he can run or she can, you know, escape or whatever.
Right.
And what that creates in the body is this constant level of stress.
Right, because you're not going to be able to sleep. And that's when your body restores itself.
It affects it. Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be able to digest food properly, and that's how you're giving your body nutrition.
Nutrition.
So, you know, you're left with two of the most major ways of restorative processing that
mm-hmm.
your body can do, gone.
Yes. Yes. So what can you do? There's a couple things you can do. You can attack this from two angles. One, there are things you can do to reduce the stress. To let it out of your body, to get rid of it, literally, completely.
Uh-huh.
The other thing you do is come at it from a mental perspective of just not, of creating an immunity to stress. You see, if you're always happy, if you're always having fun, and something comes up that would create stress, that thing will affect you way less because of where you're at mentally at the moment.
Uh-huh.
it may not be stressful at all to you because you're in a good, positive, happy, emotional place.
Right.
Right? You have an immunity. Let's talk about some of the things you can do to get stress out of your body.
Okay.
One of the things that I love and the place to begin is breathing.
I was going to say breathing is natural.
Breathing. You know, just breathe. You do it already. You know how to do it, right? But let's make a couple of changes. The first thing we're going to try to do is we're going to take a deep breath in and then forcefully exhale it.
You do it to a count?
I don't, but you can. There's, you know, often a four count, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It might help somebody who's never done it before because then they'll know, yeah, the pace.
Okay, so why don't we just do it together?
Okay.
And we'll, what, you want to do the count?
Okay.
I'll do the breathing, you do the count.
Okay.
All right, good. So, breathe in.
One, two, three, four.
Breathe out.
One, two, three, four.
Actually, that is a good slowing. We did the four count on the breathe out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make one change. Let's not do the count. I was actually showing something slightly different. Let me breathe in, and then you're gonna hear the breathing out.
Oh, you're really getting the stress out.
Do you hear how I forcefully pushed out the air?
Mm-hmm.
The thing about our breathing, when you breathe in, you're breathing in new, clean, positive energy. When you exhale, you are exhaling old, stale, negative energy from the body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you forcefully exhale, that's what you're pushing, expelling out of your body.
And I think you could even do a little bit of a visualization, you know, that any stress that you're experiencing, you're pushing out.
Absolutely. You can add that to the process as
mm-hmm.
well. Have you ever heard anybody sigh?
Oh, sure. All the time.
Well, what is that sigh? It's what we just did a second ago.
Right.
It is a forceful exhale of the stress they're holding inside their body.
Mm-hmm.
So do it. Sigh often. Forcefully expel.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, do it consciously. When you do that forceful exhale, do it with that conscious intent to exhale stress from your body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What can we do next? Let's see. There is the four count thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I like to do is to slow your breathing.
Okay.
So, and one of the techniques you can do that is you take a deep breath in through your mouth and then exhale through your nose.
Right.
Slowly through your nose. Why does it slow your breathing? One, the nose is smaller, so it takes more time for the same amount of air to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes more time and you slow down your breathing.
Right.
That alone, just slowing down your breathing rate, will reduce stress.
Well, and it's very easy for anybody who is monitoring their blood pressure and has a blood pressure device.
Mm-hmm.
You can visually see that.
Oh, yeah.
Because if your blood pressure is elevated and you're doing an exercise like that, within 5 minutes, your blood pressure is pretty much normalized.
Definitely. Definitely. Then we can now add the next thing to it. And a stethoscope helps this with this one. Or if you know how to find your pulse, slow your heart rate.
Right.
Consciously.
Now, I'm going to go to boomers for just a second because I've talked about this, and I think I've shown you the inner balance device.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a mandala on it, and you are breathing to the rhythm of that, and that is coming out of the HeartMath Institute in California. So they have figured out this very small device that you clip onto your ear, and it measures, you know, you're going into what's called heart coherence.
Mm-hmm.
But it measures what your heart rate is, and you can visually see this. So my internist, who is a very, very busy woman, knew that she didn't have time during her day, you know, in her practice to meditate.
Okay.
And yet she was under a lot of stress. And so this little inner balance, if she took 15 minutes and just sat with that in between maybe seeing 5, 6, 7 patients, she could get back into heart coherence. And when she's in heart coherence, she's hearing differently.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so your ears are picking up the nuances of, you know, listening to a patient talk about their condition, and you're not jumbling five other patients in your brain at that time, because now you're back to just being in heart coherence.
Yes, yes, definitely. how would you define heart coherence?
To me, it is when your mind and your heart are one.
Okay.
You know, you're working together. So
okay.
Your thought process is going to be more in a place of gratitude and peacefulness. And then that is linked with your heart. And that actually is breath work as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're breathing is linked to the breath work that's going on with the mandala, you've slowed everything down. And now your mind and your heart are at peace and with each other.
Nice. Okay, great. Let me jump on that
mm-hmm.
and expand that.
Sure.
So imagine, I'm trying to think of the simplest example here. Imagine you must have seen pictures of sine waves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like electricity goes in sine waves,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so your heart is actually, we know now scientifically, excuse me, that the heart puts out more electromagnetic energy
mm-hmm.
than the brain does.
Mm-hmm.
So coming out of your heart are these sine waves.
Right.
At the frequency of the energy in your heart.
Right.
And coming out of your brain are these sine waves of coming out of the energy, the frequency of your brain, which changes with your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So does the frequency in your heart. Changes with your thoughts because thoughts manifest in the body.
Right.
Right? When those two frequencies are lined up, they're the same frequency and they're in sync, that's heart coherence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now, yes, the frequencies where this can really happen is the high energy frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
The high energy frequencies, gratitude, the five positive emotions, happiness, joy, love, peace, and gratitude.
And gratitude. Now, I'm going to ask you a question that is a personal question, but I happen to be in a relationship where that heart coherence takes place between the two of us all the time.
Sure.
And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is more beautiful than being in that type of a relationship, because it's very healing, it's very positive, it's emotionally satisfying. And so have you experienced that, you know, in your lifetime? And if you have, you know, what does that feel like to you?
Well, I have not.
Oh, Paul. I'm sorry. I wish that for you.
Thank you. Yes, I'm taking applications.
All right, we'll get a whole sign-up list for you.
Will you? Okay. And from an engineering, scientific, emotional breakthrough perspective,
mm-hmm.
that electromagnetic energy, and again, we've measured this.
Right, right.
Radiates out of the body.
Right. And you know what's interesting is when the two of us are together in a setting where there's other people, people gravitate toward us. It's
mm-hmm.
almost like we're sending out a signal that says, we're here to support you. We're
mm-hmm.
here to show you what can be. And it's just amazing. Even dogs, you know, will come up because they can sense things
mm-hmm.
that
Absolutely.
People can't. And it's like the dogs will smile almost. And it's like, oh, I like your energy. So that is something that's beautiful that is available when you get yourself into heart coherence and can open up those avenues, I think, to pull,
Definitely.
You know, another person towards you that
Definitely.
Also is there.
And that right there, just the fact that other people come to you and all that,
mm-hmm.
that is the law of attraction, right?
Yes,
there.
It is.
Okay, manifesting itself, showing itself right there in that example.
Exactly.
The other thing that's going on when it's the two of you is when you put on an electromagnetic field, and you have a conductor, a wire,
mm-hmm.
you create a current in that wire.
Right.
That's how generators work.
Right.
Right? So here you are putting out an electric magnetic field. And here's this other person who is a conductor,
mm-hmm.
okay, of electromagnetic fields.
Mm-hmm.
And what you actually create in them is the same frequency that you're putting out.
Exactly.
And so long as they're willing to experience that frequency with you, now the both of you are in heart coherence. With each other.
Right. And the healing capacity is
astronomical
because there is absolutely nothing that you cannot heal when you're in that, because now you are just vibrational frequency beings.
Mm-hmm.
And the physical is almost not there. You know, you are just vibrating together in that special frequency. So I wish that for you.
Well, thank
you. Really and truly do. Now, explain for a second, because what you just did, your background is an engineer.
I was, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, you're speaking from truth
of
what an electrical understanding of our human bodies are all about.
Oh, absolutely.
So we, a lot of times we forget that. We forget that we are these vibrational electrical creatures that are in human flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But once we're not human flesh anymore, we go back to being vibrational creatures. I think.
Yes, or another way to look at that, which quantum physics tells us today,
yes,
is that there is no physical matter.
Right.
Everything is energy.
Right. Even tables, chairs that we're sitting on.
Tables, chairs, the floor. You know, here we are on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm telling you that the floor is only energy.
Right. It's holding us up here.
It's holding us up here. Okay. Right. But then again, we're only energy too.
That's true.
Right?
We're just different frequencies.
Right. And when a frequency vibrates,
mm-hmm,
when something vibrates,
mm-hmm,
at a frequency that we perceive to be physical matter, mm-hmm, then our beliefs kick in about that physical matter,
right,
and control our ability to stay here on the second floor.
And not just float away.
Not just float away, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. All right, so I showed you an orb earlier.
You did.
And so orbs are these spiritual vibrational entities,
mm-hmm,
that are out in nature that we can't really see usually with the human eye. Some people can, but most people don't. But our cameras, especially our phone cameras, can,
mm-hmm,
pick them up. And so there you go again. You know, we've got things that... I had a little girl, and I explained this, I think, a week ago when I was doing the show with Trey. But I had a little girl that was at the park, and I was showing her mother what an orb looked like.
Okay.
And so she came over and she said, "What is that?" And so I explained that it was a spirit. And she just looked at me, and she's probably 8 or 9 years old. She was so cute. And she said, "You are blowing my mind." And I thought, if I can blow your mind when you're your age, look how much further you'll be ahead,
mm,
of the vast majority of people, because you'll understand that there are some things that we can't actually explain. You know, they're there. They exist. They're there mostly to help us and guide us. But, you know, she would be so much further ahead than the average 9 or 10 year old,
mm-hmm,
because she understands that there are some things that defy explanation, but they exist.
You just touched on a... We got 10 minutes. Okay.
30.
Oh, 30. Okay. All right, cool. So... Well, great then, because you just touched on something, if you will, that is my pet peeve, if you will, about humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And where humanity has gone and the change that I think is necessary right now.
Uh-huh.
And that is, we've given way too much credit to our minds. Way too much credit.
Well, doesn't that start even, you know, as a toddler? I mean, we can play up until we're like 2 or 3 or 4, someplace in there, then the play has to become more linear. Like, if you do this, you're learning from it.
There's a little boy who lives across the street from me.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's 6. And actually, one of the things from, again, back to science, okay, the brain is still in theta brainwave state up to age 7.
Okay.
And theta, as you know, is dream state.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
So if you ever yell at your kid saying, you know, it's like, this is the real world or something, like, can't you see it's the real world, something like that.
Right.
They can't because they're dreaming.
Right.
Their mind is in a dream state.
Right.
And they play. This kid plays all the time.
Well, I realize that.
And it's
critical
that he plays, actually. It's wonderful he plays.
I'm glad he's playing, but I'm also a realist in the sense that having been in the at-risk schools, you know, with my own office there.
Right.
The teachers are not playing.
No, the teachers are not.
No, and so
after age 7, we forget how to, you know,
well,
right?
Well, they're there with pre-K. You know, like, you will sit, you will learn, you will do this, you
will
do that.
So there we are indoctrinating.
Exactly.
okay? We don't... I'm trying to think of how this word was used. There was a joke, a meme I had seen somewhere. Something about we're the only species who domesticate our own children. You know, right?
Right.
We usually like to use the word domesticate with regards to animals, but we domesticate our children.
Right, so that they fit in.
So that they fit in.
Yeah.
To the society that we have created.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And
aren't we doing that with COVID-19?
Oh, very much so.
You know, and I'm going to pull this around for just a second,
okay,
so
sure.
People understand that the reason they've got all the stress they've got going on right now is because the news, the
mm-hmm.
media,
you're being indoctrinated.
Is indoctrinating us,
yeah,
to look at fear, false evidence,
yes,
appearing real,
yeah,
more than coping. You know, they're not teaching us how to cope. They're teaching us how to be afraid and stay inside and
right.
be safe. Right?
Exactly. So what's the opposite of giving our minds all that credit?
Mm-hmm.
Giving our experiences the credit. Right? What are you feeling? What's going on for you? What's true and real for you?
Right.
Is the virus real for you? Is it something that's real? Can you reach out and touch it? Do you have a personal experience of this virus? Or are you having a personal experience of what you've been told about the virus?
Exactly.
And then what do you want? Do you want to keep that the personal experience you're having about something that somebody told you?
Well, it is a vicious cycle that we're in. And there was a little girl that was interviewed on national news last night. And I do watch the 6:30 to 7 news on ABC.
Okay.
And I like David. But this little girl, she was with her grandmother and her mother. And she was becoming like a little newscaster person herself. And she was trying to explain what this virus was all about. And so she looked at both of, you know, her grandmother and her mother, and she said, well, the virus is something that we can't see, which is always scary.
Right.
And why? It's inside of our bodies.
I don't see love.
Exactly. But we teach children that things that you can't see. Like, that's why they are afraid of dark closets. Or the boogeyman that's under the bed. They can't
right.
see it, but he's under there, right?
Yes. Yes.
The dark. Mm-hmm. You know, if we were Native Americans, would we be as afraid 200 years ago of the dark?
Good point.
As we are today. But now when the lights go out, you know, we have to have our candles, we have to have flashlight. We don't allow our
we
eyes.
We live in a society of light.
Exactly.
Yeah, whereas 200 years ago, they lived in a society of half light and half dark.
And
give
they got
take.
To actually see the stars.
Yes.
And the galaxies.
Yes.
And so we've shifted. And now we allow, I think, whether it's Facebook or whether it's, you know, our television or radios, if they're listening to radio shows. But I think a lot of times we're allowing someone else to determine what we're going to either enjoy, love.
Mm-hmm.
Be afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're being educated constantly about pharmaceuticals.
So I just want to take that sentence
uh-huh.
of yours and just make it general. I want
okay.
to generalize it. We are being told how to feel
mm-hmm.
by other people.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I think it doesn't make any sense at all because
no.
I think if you're not in touch with your own feelings, and most people unfortunately aren't.
Right.
So they don't know what's making them sad. Which is, again, fearful. They don't know what's making them happy.
But
you
if
know,
they
so
take the time, if they take the time to look inside, they really do know.
But
they just
have
to tell the truth. They've got to tell the truth.
Well, and they've got to take time.
Both.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, now, and this is something else that I'm finding fascinating about this whole viral situation, is for the first time, we have time.
Yeah, good point.
And so we can journal.
Well,
you know,
we've made ourselves very busy in the last 3 months, too.
Some people have, and some people haven't. But, I mean, if you kind of stop and consider that our environment has had time to recover in some ways. In
yes,
some parts
yes.
of the... So Los Angeles has cleaner air because the cars aren't out on the highways polluting it as much.
Nice.
They've been able to see the mountains that they weren't able. Yes, what they weren't able to see.
Wow.
You know, the waterways are clearer because we don't have the boats out there dropping the oil because everybody's anchored. The planes aren't flying, you know, giving off fumes, and the air is cleaner. We're learning to cook. You know, we were so used to carry out and eating things that probably had things in them, chemical-wise, that weren't that good for us. And so now we have an opportunity to bond as a family and actually create some interesting food that we can consume as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe people are turning off their phones a little bit. Maybe people are turning off the computers a little bit. Maybe they're playing board games or they're doing movie nights. But there's a shift. And so I think if you look at the possibilities maybe that exist here for improving quality of life, that there's a possibility this could happen.
Possibly.
Possibly.
Possibly. I'm not thinking of any examples right now to continue that thought.
But these are all stress reducers.
Yes.
In the long run, they are ways to handle the stress that we're under differently. And it's a shift. It's a shift in thinking.
Well, the key there is to keep looking for the things that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like? And just keep doing more of that. If it's cooking, do cooking.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was in a meeting this morning where the speaker was saying how for the last 3 months, she's been doing tons of cooking and posting it to Instagram. And her relatives are going, "You cook? We didn't know you cooked."
Right.
Because she didn't cook before when she was busier.
Right.
Now
right.
she is.
Right.
So.
And some people, I mean, maybe it's going to be artwork. You know, maybe they'll do stained glass. Maybe they'll do coloring books. Maybe they'll just take a walk out in nature every day and see what's exciting around the corner. You know, because if you open your eyes.
Yes, adventure.
Look, you know, it's you'll see things.
Or see things that are pretty that you'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us back to the experience in life. What do you, you know, are you thinking in your head what you need to feel and do and all of that? Or are you looking at your heart and seeing how you feel and what you're enjoying and liking?
Right.
The latter will bring you inner peace. And the really cool thing, I've posted a lot of several new testimonial videos on my website of clients who have graduated my program.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme, because everybody gets their own miracle.
Sure.
But the theme for the last 3 months here has been inner peace.
Inner peace.
Inner peace.
So how have some of your clients achieved that? Maybe that would be a good place, you know, to kind of go, is to think about not giving names and particulars, but they've all achieved that in their own way, I'm guessing.
Well, they all achieved that as the result of the things that I teach
in
the course.
But what was the aha moment maybe for them was?
There is an exercise I do that becomes your assignment in the first several weeks of the program that reveals, it's an exercise. So I can't explain a whole lot of what it reveals in you, but basically it produces in you the realization. You have an experience of the truth of the things I'm teaching you.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the particular truth is how powerful you are,
mm-hmm.
what you are really, who you really are, your true identity. And when you both have an experience of that, and then you learn how to walk in that experience.
Right.
The natural consequence is inner peace.
Hmm. And a lot of people never realized that they had power.
Sure, that's right. Because why? Because they were told things as a child that you have no power.
Mm-hmm.
I just read something the other day about a girl, a woman now, who's a speaker, a motivational speaker. But she grew up in a small village in Africa. And she had been told from birth that you're worthless. You're a woman. You're a girl. You have no value.
And so what?
And she's out teaching the opposite of that now,
right,
thank
exactly.
God. But
so what made her decide that that was not a truth that she wanted to live?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You wonder. I mean, something, there was some point in her life where she said no more.
Exactly. Exactly. And every one of you, you know, every one of us can do that. Mm-hmm. Right? That's that moment where you say, no, this is not the life I want to live.
Right.
I want a life that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Right? That everything happens in it the way I want it to for my benefit.
Right.
And these are also consequences of the things that I teach my students.
You know what I'm finding interesting? Because I've had so many different guests with me, and they all bring, you know, their vision, I guess you might say. And Tess, who is my angel communicator that hasn't been on for a while, but she has always said that the angels that she communicates with want us to live a life of joy.
Absolutely.
And so I think if we can keep that at the core of our understanding of who we are, then living a life of joy is going to be slightly different for each person, because mm-hmm. there's different things that make us joyful.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can live that life, hopefully with someone who also has that same vision, look at all the good you can do in the world. I mean, it's really
Absolutely.
Pretty incredible.
It is incredible. And the thing I just want people to understand, it isn't that realization of who you are and
mm-hmm.
that peace that comes with that
mm-hmm.
isn't something you're going to come to a, you're not going to have that experience by reading it in a book. You actually have to have an experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it changes. That's how we change, is to actually have experience. Think about this. If I told you all about a great restaurant
mm-hmm.
that's amazing, the food is spectacular, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd begin to believe me. But if you've eaten there and had a wonderful experience with the food, it was phenomenal,
right,
you would believe it a whole lot more.
Oh, absolutely.
You'd be out there telling everybody else how wonderful that restaurant is.
Well, and that's kind of how I think we validate things, is word of mouth more than hearing about it. Because hearing is just the one sense.
Right.
But you can hear about it, and then you can go to the restaurant and smell the food,
mm-hmm.
and you can taste the food. So you have other senses that are involved that are going to validate your experience. And so now it becomes your truth.
Exactly.
It's not just something that you're saying, oh, I heard about this.
Right. And that's the key. It needs to become, you know, for me to tell you, you're powerful, you can have anything you want in life, lovely words, pretty worthless, because you're not believing me.
Right.
Right? If you've had an experience of those words.
Right.
Now there's nothing to believe. It's true already.
Right.
You don't have to listen to me anymore. You already know that everything is to your benefit in this universe.
Right. I'm going to go back to a personal experience, and this was one that the doctors totally were blown away by. But when my husband did die, over 2.5 years ago now, he was deceased at the time that I arrived. It was, you know, 5 minutes after he had died, because he literally, going back to the electrical, he had prevented my phone from ringing. There were 2 messages on my phone from hospice, which was 10 minutes from me. And it did not ring. There were 2 messages to his son's phone that did not ring. The phone was right next to him, did not ring. And so I knew that he didn't want us there at the moment of his death. For whatever reason, he did not. But I later realized the reason. The reason was, when I arrived, most people who have been deceased for about 5 minutes, they've lost their coloring, right?
Okay.
He had not.
Hmm.
He still looked just as normal as could be, like he was sleeping.
Hmm.
When I picked up his hand was still warm. The doctors said, that is impossible. And I went, well, then tell it to God. Because what he was showing me was this whole thing about vibrational frequency, is that we are nothing more than energy, and energy can be manipulated.
Absolutely.
So he manipulated his own energy to stay present, thereby showing me that I'm on the right track to understanding energy.
Wow. Cool.
And so he was able to absolutely qualitatively, quantitatively show that.
Hmm.
And that is one of the things. I mean, you can study quantum physics, which I have,
right,
and you can bounce energy back and forth, which I've done. But when you have something that's that concrete, where, you know, the nurses were saying, I don't understand. How does he still have this cough? And not only that, it stayed for 2 hours because it took the coroner 2 hours to get there. I left the room a number of times and came back and nothing had changed.
Wow.
So that's pretty
powerful. I like that. leaving a observable to other people in the illusion a sign that you've manipulated reality after your heart and brain have stopped.
Yes.
The definition of death, right?
Exactly.
I want to do that. I like that. I want to leave that sign behind when I go.
Well, then you make the decision now.
Yes.
And you just make that agreement with the universe that you'll be able to do that.
That I will leave a sign that this is an illusion.
This is an illusion.
And that the energy is really the truth. And energies and frequencies is what it's all about.
Right. And, I mean, people that have read, like, Esther Hicks and Abraham, I mean, she channels Abraham.
Yes.
But that is what she's saying, is that, you know, life as we know it really doesn't exist. It is all an illusion, and we have the ability to create and move within the universe in so many different ways, but the majority of us kind of stay in that standard path. You know, we don't want to detour too much because that Trey refers to this as constructs.
Okay.
But it changes our construct. If we believe this to be true, and now we step outside of whatever that is into this other path, then it's a whole new world.
Sure.
And it's kind of can be a very frightening place. So to understand, as your clients are understanding, that they are powerful beyond belief.
Yes.
And then to take that ownership. I can create. Mm-hmm. I can become anybody I want to be.
Yes. And have anything you want.
And that is a lot of responsibility, because now I don't have the ability to point a finger at anybody.
Correct.
And say, if it hadn't been for my father, my mother, my teacher, my job, whoever, you know, my condition, if it hadn't been for that, then I could. Well, no, you can.
Yeah.
It's a decision.
And
a choice.
Yes, it's a choice, absolutely. That you just hit on the second critical point. After dealing with or covering identity and who we are and capabilities and power and authority, the very next thing we talk about is, well, if you're all of that, guess what? You're responsible for everything.
Yes, exactly.
You created it. It's yours.
Yeah.
And then why? For your benefit. Huh? Well, that we get into the why, you know, to understand how was that terrible thing that just happened to you, how is that to your benefit, right? We get into that in the subsequent weeks and explain and understand that. But if we can start with identity, who I am is all powerful and that complete ultimate authority, and I'm responsible for everything, and it's all for my benefit, those three things, now you've got the universe at your fingertips.
Right. And the benefit, if we go down that road for just a second, you know, sometimes I have spoken with people that have lost their jobs, people that have had major illnesses, heart attacks, whatever it might be. And they've also said that it was a gift.
Yep, they always do, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And, you know, you ask them, you know, as a therapist, I would always say, well, explain to me how you prospered or how you learned from that particular situation. And sometimes it was slowing down their lives. Sometimes it gave them an opportunity to see relationships and how powerful they are. Sometimes it was, you know, something that forced them to choose a different alternative career path.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the gift. So looking for the gift of whatever the pain is. And then the pain doesn't have to be pain.
Correct.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It can be something that teaches you about yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, so what are you finding in your own personal life, maybe, or in the lives of your clients that you could share? You know, like, I don't want, again, free to give anything away that would be revealing, but I think people listening need to understand that just because we're suffering does not mean that it's a bad thing.
Right. Pain is actually a good thing. pain is a gift in and of itself. Mm-hmm. When I was taking, before I was dealing with the mind, I was out there speaking about holistic healthcare.
Uh-huh.
And I took Anatomy and Physiology 1.
Okay.
And the very early on in the class, the teacher said, she's talking about pain.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, pain is an indicator. An indicator. Like, what do you mean by an indicator? Think of the oil light on your
right,
car.
Right.
That you know, or the check engine light.
Uh-huh.
Right? So that's an indicator light.
Right.
Pain is an indicator that something is wrong in the body. That mm-hmm. something is not working as designed.
Right.
And now you have an opportunity to do something about it.
Exactly.
Before it ends your life.
Right.
So pain's a wonderful thing. Does it feel good? No, it's not supposed to. I had surgery. So this is interesting. I'm in the ER, and this was something, a hernia, inguinal hernia. And I had kept it at bay for about 6 years. Using herbal products and whatnot. But finally, I mean, I knew what I had to look for, that if this ever happened, then I better get my ass... Oh, can I say that word?
Yes.
Then I better get my assets into the hospital.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So it was a Sunday afternoon, and that thing that I had to watch out for started at 4 o'clock, and or I think it started about 3 o'clock, and by 6, it's like, I think I'm going to the hospital. So I'm in the ER, and they're telling me, I said, listen, how long is the recovery for this? Because I got things on my calendar. I'm a very busy guy. He says, well, you're going to be laid up for about 2 weeks of pain. Don't expect to do anything for 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, I have an event to go to in a week. I need to be there,
uh-huh.
right? And they said, well, don't plan on it. You better make some phone calls and cancel. And I said, no, not a chance. After the surgery... One day later, I'm out of there after a day, I'm back at home. And they told me that I could not take any of my herbal products. I couldn't even take salt or vitamin C.
Wow.
Because I take them in capsules, okay? I said, why? They said, because it could interact with the pain medication we're giving you. I said, I understand. Keep your pain medication. I'm going home. I will have all my herbal products. I will continue my life the way I live my life. And I will be at my event. 1 week later, I was at my event. Was I in pain? Yes, I was in a lot of pain. But I was at my event.
And I'm sure a lot of that had to do with herbal remedies, but it also had to do with the fact that you had decided.
Yes.
You made that decision.
It's all about that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew, I mean, it was probably day 3 when I realized it's not going as fast as I wanted to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let me call up a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Who has laser devices that heal the body.
Sure.
And can you please bring me one of your devices? And he did. Brought it to my home. Left it with me for a week. That's how I made it to the event.
That's awesome.
If it wasn't for that device.
That is awesome that you were able to do that.
But I wouldn't have done that without the decision.
Right. Right. And I think, again, giving our power away... and I'm going to go back to COVID-19 a little bit. We have created our stress because we've given our power away.
Exactly.
And we gave it to the media. We gave it to...
The World Health Organization.
The World Health Organization. Everybody's saying, this is how you now have to live your life. And we saw on television in Italy and in Spain and all these other countries, people... hunkering down, you know, like we do when we've got a hurricane coming.
Right.
Except the hurricane comes and goes, usually within 24 to 48 hours.
Right.
And then we start recovering.
Right.
With this, the recovery is still ongoing. And the fear is still with us.
Yes.
And a lot of that is because we gave our power away and said, you tell us what to do and we'll do it.
Yes, exactly. Take back your power, people.
Yeah. Take back your power and understand how very, very powerful
you
we
are.
Are. Because we will create something beautiful, I think, out
mm-hmm.
of this.
Amen.
If we choose to do that.
Yes, we will.
So, all right. So I want you, as we're coming to the end of our show, to again let people know how they can find you.
Sure.
And what you can do for them.
Okay.
As far as... you know, the kind of work that you have. I know you can help them create better lives through, and I think you do a lot of this through Zoom.
Yes, the course is done on Zoom.
On Zoom. So maybe explain a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, first of all, again, my name is Paul Levin, and the website is ideserveaperfectlife.com. ideserveaperfectlife.com. And what I do is I teach you principles and concepts that I can pretty much guarantee you've never heard of before. And they will shake your world. In fact, I'm going to teach you that everything you believe to be real and true isn't. It just isn't. And everything you didn't believe was real is. Or those things that you didn't believe was real is. And when we make that shift, your life changes. If there was anything holding you back, blocking you, stopping you from having the life you wanted, I mean, what do you want? Do you want to be happier? More joy-filled? Do you want to have love? Do you want to build a business? Do you want to have more money? Do you want to have more friends? Do you want to just feel good? Do you just want to be able to be at peace all the time? You can have any of those and all of those. So go to the website, ideserveaperfectlife.com. You'll find a phone number there. You'll find an email. You'll find a contact form. You'll find tons of information. Reach out, schedule a complimentary session, and let's talk about how to make your life the life that you call perfect.
I think a lot of people ought to take you up on that. I really do. All right. So if someone listening to this right now believes that this interview today with Paul would be beneficial for others to hear, please send them to synergyconnectionradio.com, and you can click on the show notes, because all of the shows are archived there. Paul has, I think, maybe four other shows that will be there from the last year and 7 months or so.
I think it's more than that.
Yeah. But you know, go there and you can scroll through the different pages. I think there's 9 pages of shows at this point, and find his other shows. But this show will be the very first one on show notes. So it's not done any other way than the newest show is at the top of the list. If you click on that show, you'll be able to listen to everything. There's always a little synopsis about what the show is about so that people will know whether they want to spend an hour of their time listening. So that's where you're going to go. And again, if you are interested in learning more about nutrition, then click on the Boomer link, and that'll take you right into their website. There are blogs there. There are testimonials there. There's a tremendous amount of information, including videos about the products, how they're made, what they can do for you. And if you do order, be sure to use Lucy, L-U-C-Y, as the promo code, and you'll get $5 off. So I want to wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful remainder of your week. Of course, this airs on a Saturday, so it's going to be more the coming week. And I hope that you do truly go out there and make this your very best life. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you again next Saturday. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.